time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School. You'll want to turn in your Bible at this time to 1 Samuel chapter 15. I'm going to begin reading in just a moment in 1 Samuel 15 in verse 32. You see, we're talking about in this study of the reign of Saul, the time when Saul was told to go utterly destroy the Amalekites. But he did not do what God said. They brought back the best of the things from the Amalekites that they wanted rather than destroying them, as Jehovah had said. And Saul blamed the people. He said, the people have done this. Well, he also brought back King Agag, who he was supposed to destroy. And Samuel had to finish this job himself, and he was grieved over that. And we're going to read about that in just a few moments as we begin our study. And then we're going to make some points that we gather from our reading from 1 Samuel chapter 8 through 15 as we return to Elam's notes on these Bible texts. Now, while you're turning to 1 Samuel chapter 15, I'll remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And we're studying a Sunday school lesson that was written by E. A. Elam for the Sunday schools of March the 9th, 1924. Now let me complete this reading here from 1 Samuel chapter 15, and then we'll return to Elam's notes. It tells us, 1 Samuel 15 and verse 32, and Samuel said, bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came to him cheerfully. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before Jehovah at Gilgal. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 34. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death, for Samuel mourned for Saul, and Jehovah repented that he hath made Saul king over Israel. Now with that, we're going to look at several things from this reading between 1 Samuel chapters 8, verse 14. First, I want you to note this. They had transitioned from Samuel as being a judge unto having Saul as a king the nation of Israel had. And so the first note is those who wanted a king. It was all the elders of Israel that gathered themselves together and came unto Saul at Ramah. They had discussed this grave movement among themselves. They went to Samuel in a body, and they gave three reasons for wanting a king. One, behold, thou, Samuel, art old. Number two, thy sons walk not in thy ways. And number three, we want a king to judge us like all the nations. So many times, people have gotten themselves in trouble by trying to do what everyone else is doing. Number two, the government under judges was God's government. To change the government was to reject God as king. Number three, showing the fearfulness of sin of changing God's government and order of work and of worship today. You see, a lot of people think that just because God said something, that's almost like a suggestion, and don't feel compelled to do God's things God's way. When we change God's way for man's way and the work and worship that we do for God, we are no longer working for God and worshiping God. We are simply working for ourselves and doing what we want to do. Number 4. After Samuel's solemn protest, the people said, "Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles." And number 5, Saul was anointed king. Number 6, having been anointed king, Saul was tried and he failed. It says that he forced himself, or rather he presumed, to make an offering when Samuel was the one that was to make it. Samuel said unto him, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of Jehovah thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would Jehovah have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now shall thy kingdom not continue. Jehovah hath sought him a man after his own heart, and Jehovah hath appointed him to be prince over his people, because thou hast not kept that which Jehovah commanded thee." 1 Samuel 13, verses 8 through 14. Number 7. Let us learn the enormity of sin of presumption and the importance of implicit obedience to God. The latter springs from faith in God, and the former from the lack of faith. Uzziah, the king of Judah, committed the same sin in his heart when he was lifted up. He presumed to burn incense in the temple of God and was smitten with leprosy. We read his story in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verses 16 through 22. It says, "When he," now this is Uzziah, "when he was strong, his heart was lifted up so that he did corruptly. And he trespassed against Jehovah his God, for he went into the temple of Jehovah to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of Jehovah that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, 'It pertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto Jehovah, but the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense, to go out of the sanctuary. For thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from Jehovah God.' Then Uzziah was wroth, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, leprosy brake forth on his forehead before the priest in the house of Jehovah beside the altar of incense. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out quickly from thence. Yea, himself hastened also to go out, because Jehovah had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a separate house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of Jehovah. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, the first and the last, which Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, write. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of burial which belonged to the kings. For they said, 'He is a leper.' And Jotham, his son, reigned in his stead." Now, going back to the reign of Saul and the points that we're getting from the reading from 1 Samuel chapters 8 through 14. Point number 8. Jonathan's faith and success was over the mighty army of the Philistines. And then number 9. After Jonathan's victory over the Philistines, Saul fought against all his enemies on every side and put them to the worse, while God was willing, it seems, to try Saul again. This lesson shows that his further stubbornness and rebellion brought his doom. One such step generally leads to another. Now, you may want to look in your Bibles now at 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 1 through 12. Here we read about the Amalekites and their sins, and why it was that God wanted them destroyed. We read that Samuel said unto Saul, "Jehovah sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Thus saith Jehovah of hosts, I have marked that which Amalek did to Israel. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, oxen, sheep, cattle, and ass." This command is specific and direct, and could not have been misunderstood. Saul did not misunderstand it. The Amalekites were descendants of Esau. We read in Genesis chapter 36 and verse 12 that Timnah was concubine to Eliphaz, Esau's son, and she bare to Elikaz, Amalek. They were a nomadic tribe living mostly in the desert south of Canaan. They were either fierce enemies of the Israelites, and they shamefully treated them when they first came out of Egypt. Exodus chapter 8 and verse 13. They pursued them, smiting the faint and the weary and the feeble and the helpless who were unable to keep up. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 25, 17 through 19. "Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way as ye came forth out of Egypt? How he met thee by the way and smote the hindermost of thee that were feeble behind thee when thou wast faint and weary. And he feared not God. Therefore it shall be when Jehovah thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about in the land which Jehovah thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Thou shalt not forget." We also read in the book of Numbers, chapter 14 and verse 45. "Then the Amalekite came down, and the Canaanite, he dwelt in that mountain, and smote them and beat them down, even unto Hormah." These Amalekites also assisted the Moabites and the Midianites when they came up against Israel. We read in Judges chapter 3 and verse 13. "Then he gathered unto him the children of Ammon and Amalek, and he went and smote Israel, and they possessed the city of palm trees." And in Judges chapter 6, verses 3 through 4, "It was so, when Israel had shown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, they came up against them, and they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou cometh unto Gaza, and left no substance in Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. It was for this reason that God said, I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, and I will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Exodus 17, 14 through 16. Is because of their own sins and perpetual hatred of God's people and of God's purpose, that it was God's purpose to destroy them. Saul was commanded to fulfill this purpose more than 400 years after God had declared it. This was because the Amalekites had never repented. God's mercy and justice are seen in the destruction of the incorrigibly wicked, as well as in the salvation of the righteous. God knew what he was doing when he had Saul to utterly destroy the Amalekites, but Saul had his own ideas, and because of the kindness of the Kenites were not destroyed with the Amalekites. Saul marched against Amalekites with 210,000 men and smote the Amalekites. But he spared Agag the king and the best of the sheep and oxen and the fatling and of the rams. And this proved his undoing. God said, destroy them. Saul allowed the people to spare them. We'll return to this in our next class.